Chapter 4, sit back, get real relaxed, not too relaxed, eyes stay open, hearts stay open, amen. Mark 4, 35, I want to start with here. What a great day, what a great day. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when he had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But Jesus, was in the stern, asleep. Jesus is the only one that's allowed to sleep in this service. Amen? But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he, Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about this topic right here. Are you ready? This is it. This is what's been burning in me. I want to talk about and teach on how to shift the atmosphere around you. Anybody need an atmosphere shift? Now listen to this. The word atmosphere is defined as this: as the pervading tone or mood of a place or situation. The pervading tone or mood of a place or a situation. Now, a synonym that is used for the word atmosphere, you guys all remember what a synonym is? It's another word that means the same thing, right? Is the word, listen to this, the word aura. Say aura. Now, this word's gotten a little bad rap because those New Agers use it a lot. All right? But listen to this. I want to show you this. The word aura is defined as this: the distinctive atmosphere or quality that seems to surround and be generated by a person, thing, or place. All right? Let me say it again. Aura is defined as the distinctive atmosphere or quality that seems to surround or be generated by a person, thing, or place. Now, you all know, I hope you know by now, that the New Agers haven't come up with anything new. They just took the things of God and they twisted it and kicked God out of it. Hello, somebody. Right? Now, listen to this. When I use the words atmosphere and aura, I'm referring to this: the spiritual energy or presence or mood that a person is releasing by their presence. Oh, come on, you got to hear this. Listen to this. The Greek word that's translated aura, you want to know what it means? It means this: breath or breeze. That is the same meaning of the word spirit. Breath. Breeze, okay? It is saying it is a spiritual atmosphere or environment. Because if you don't know this by now, are you ready for this? Everything is spiritual. Everything has a spiritual root attached to it. Everything in the natural was created from the spiritual. Amen? Now, I find it interesting that the definition of aura, it's not only generated by a person, but it says it can be generated by a thing or a place. Now, this is biblical because we know in the Word of God that obviously people can have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon and within them. You agree with that? We knew that about people. That's the easy one. But what about things? What in the world is that talking about? How about the anointing that was upon Paul that was transferred into handkerchiefs or aprons in the book of Acts? Right? From his body. And it says that the anointing that was on those prayer cloths, on cloths or aprons, it said many unusual miracles were done when these people, when they, these cloths or aprons touch other people. People were healed of diseases. And it even says that the anointing that was upon that even caused demons to come out of people. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So if the anointing can be of the Holy Spirit can be in cloths or things, oh, the opposite is true then. The presence of the kingdom of darkness can be on all those things as well. I'm talking about the atmosphere around you. Are you getting this? These kinds of things can create an atmosphere in a specific location. All right? Now, I remember one time Marianne and I were at a place, and someone said something, I don't know, this is a while back, when someone was preaching and we were watching it, and something happened, and it just made me so angry. And we were driving home, and she said, I could feel the anger coming off of you in that place. I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything. She goes, oh no, I felt it. The tension, you could cut it with a knife. Why? Because you create your own atmosphere. People can sense it. It comes off of you. It radiates off of people. Now, this message, I'm more so talking about you on an individual or a personal level. Now, I preached a message a while back called Praising Your Way to Breakthrough. And I'm talking about prayer and praise and worship. But I'm not really going to cover those obvious things. We know that. To create an atmosphere, obviously praising, worshiping God, and prayer, that's all a part of shifting the atmosphere, right? I want to deal with some things that maybe you never really even thought about much. I like going to those things a little bit, right? So I want to share some important points that the Holy Spirit illuminated to me about this important topic. Now, I don't know if you know this, but we as Christians are created and we are called to be an atmosphere shifter. You are created to shift the atmosphere everywhere you go. The mood, the pervading mood in a place. You are created, we are created to shift that to the positive. Our very presence in a location should be powerful enough to shift it, like I said, from negative to a positive atmosphere. The first thing that needs to happen to shift the atmosphere around you is this. You need an understanding and knowledge of your identity in Jesus Christ. You will never shift the atmosphere without knowing your identity in Christ. You must know who you are as a born-again believer. Amen? A watered-down, false humility version will never shift the atmosphere around you. You need to come at it with truth and Holy Ghost fire. Amen? You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of the King. You are a member of the kingdom of God. You are a citizen of heaven. And you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. There is no reason you shouldn't be shifting atmospheres in every building you go into or location. This is very important to understand. You need to know who you are in Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you ready for this? This is it right here. Many of you have not even thought about this. Many of you are saying, well, I know who I am. But here's what you got to understand is, many of you and me, we forget sometimes. Here's what the Holy Ghost said. You must be aware and conscious of your standing and authority through Jesus Christ for there to be any kind of shifting at all. In other words, it's got to stay fresh in your thought life. Have you ever seen someone who walks in their authority? It's because they know it. They keep it fresh in their thought life. It's very easy. It's real simple why the Word of God says forget not all of His benefits. Because we forget. Pretty profound, isn't it? Now, listen to this. So, you need to be aware and conscious of your standing and authority through Jesus Christ at all times. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, you should be carrying a different kind of an atmosphere in your presence than you did before you got born again. Now, We are joint heirs with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. You got to get this deep in your spirit. But Christ who lives in me. Where you go, Jesus goes. Where you go, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Man, we could stop right there and just have a party on that right now, couldn't we? But it goes on to say, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, we're called to proclaim the praises. When you proclaim the praises of him, it shifts the atmosphere. We are in the light. Say, I am in the light. We are to know and understand. You got to understand this, that you are releasing light in the darkness everywhere you go if you're abiding in Christ. Are you hearing me? Now listen to this. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go. All authority has been given unto me, unto him, and he says, go. Now, in Luke 10:19, Jesus said this. He said, behold, I give you, you guys got to really pay attention, because I'm gonna touch something that many people, Christians, don't think about. How many times have you heard Luke 10:19? Probably quite a bit, right? Listen. He said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Listen, and listen very good. Are you ready? The promise of nothing hurting you is dependent upon you using your spiritual authority. Oh, come on. If a believer is not using their spiritual authority in Christ, things have the potential to harm you. Oh, my goodness. See, you must use your authority for things not to harm you. Christians were real good at this. We use this verse as if it's automatic, that all you need to do is speak the verse. No, that verse is telling us, use your authority. Don't just repeat the verse. Use the authority against the kingdom of darkness. Use your authority against sickness, disease, and bondage, and against demons. Amen? But here's what, I think we just get in this religious rut and we get lazy. Say lazy. And we just speak that verse and we think, oh, all is well. There's a fence around me. I'm good to go. No, it's only good and beneficial to you when you use that authority. Oh, come on, somebody. So God gave the promised land. Listen to this. God gave the promised land to the children of Israel, but they still had to courageously fight for it. They still had to stand on the promises of God. Amen? The point is this. Lazy and inactive Christians will get trampled on by the enemy all day long. Are you getting it? We use that authority. How do we use that authority? You use that authority in your thought life. You use that authority with spoken words. You use that authority by acting on the word, by being obedient to the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, I want you to notice that our authority in Christ, it says, behold, he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So Jesus is lifting up our authority over the power of the enemy. I want you to notice that our authority in Christ is greater than the power of the enemy. Authority always don't ever forget this. Authority always trumps power. Oh, you didn't hear that. Why? Okay, so you get some guy who's in WWE, right? Out, he goes out and he starts beating the heck out of people. He's huge, he's big, man, he's got power. But then this little shrimp guy comes along, such as myself or something, right? A police guy. He comes along and shows the badge and arrests him. Why? Because authority is greater than power. Are you getting it? Authority is always greater than power. Now, the beautiful thing is we as Christians, we have not only authority, but if you have the Holy Ghost baptism, you have power with the authority. And that's why the enemy hates us so much. That's why the enemy hates the charismatic Pentecostal movement so much. Are you getting it? But the beautiful thing is, the thing that saves the heinies of a lot of Christians that reject the Holy Ghost is that they still have authority, and that authority is still greater than the power of the enemy. Are you all awake out there? Hang in there. Come on. This is a pastor's fun time of the week of preaching. Come on. So talk to me. Come on. Amen. Listen to this. Here's what. Here we go. Listen to this. Authority is the rightful or legal right to enforce obedience. And power is the ability to act. So you carry an authority in the spirit realm to enforce obedience against the forces of darkness. But if you lack that knowledge and understanding, it will not benefit you at all. Amen? See, you're enacting. When you cast out a demon, you're using your authority in Christ. You're using that lawful right to enforce obedience. You're commanding that demon to be obedient to your command. Come out. Amen? In the name of Jesus. Now, so it is a must that you keep. Oh, we're gonna go deeper. So hold on. It is a must that you keep your identity in Christ, who you are spiritually, fresh in your thought life at all times. Don't forget that. Amen? If you allow that to slip out of your mind, you will be overcome by the attacks of the enemy. You will be overcome by the storms of life. I promise you that. All right? And that's when that feeling of hopelessness attacks a believer. Okay? Now, here we go. So, this is a sobering thought that the Holy Spirit showed me. Listen to this. Your feelings, you ready for this profound truth? Your feelings, my feelings, are not always true. Can you believe that? In fact, some of the feelings that we experience, they're a flat-out lie. Here's what the Holy Ghost said. He said, if my people are being led by emotions, you could be basing your entire life on lies. If you're being led by only your emotions and not the Word of God and not the Holy Ghost, you're building your life upon lies. Your wrong emotions can create life changing, life-altering circumstances. Did you know that? Did you know that? Oh, great. Great. Now, this is why, listen, this is why we are called to walk by faith and not by sight or by anything in the natural realm. Because the natural realm plus the unrenewed mind are out of step with the promises of God, which is the will of God. Now, I'm saying a lot of things today, all right? Listen to me. You have to stop and ask yourself this question. I need to stop and ask myself this question. Is any part of my life based upon lies? Is any part of my life based upon lies? Only a renewed mind, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, only a renewed mind, a mind that's renewed, transformed with the Word of God, can know the will of God. Amen? That's why it's so important to get into the Word of God. You can't put enough emphasis on the Word of God. Now, when I use the word lies, I'm referring to anything that is against the Word of God, anything that's against the promises of God, anything that's against the will of God for your life, anything less than the will of God for your life. That's what I'm talking about when I say lies. Here's a question you need to ask yourself. Are you settling for less than God's best in any area of your life? Are you settling? Say settling. Settling is one of the most evil and demonic things ever. Never settle. Amen? Never settle. Someone that has a sickness, a disease, or an infirmity that is just settled with the thought that they're never going to get better. You are settling for less than God's best in your life. Amen? Don't ever stop fighting the good fight of faith. Listen, someone needs to hear this. Someone might say, what if I never get healed? What if I never receive my miracle? Let's just let the rubber hit the ground right now, right? Listen to me. Well, one thing's for sure. You will never get it if you are settling and being content with that thing in your body and in your life. That's for sure. We can say that for sure. Now, here's what happens. Many people have taken the fear of rejection into their relationship with God because they're afraid God's going to say no to them for their healing or miracle. Anybody ever been there? Anybody want to be totally honest and transparent this morning? Are you ready for this? This rose, as I was writing this, this rose up on the inside of me. I would rather die and go to heaven believing for healing, believing for a miracle, than to roll over, be faithless, and play dead the rest of my life. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Ah, come on, somebody. I'd rather, until my last breath, fight it with everything I got, believe in God, roll it in to the pearly gates, believe in God, than to live a dead life on this earth while my heart's still beating. Now, let me help you out with something, with those that, of you that are feeling hopeless and have a fear of rejection from God for your healing or miracle. Are you ready for this? Let me help you out a little bit, because if I leave it at that, then you're like, oh, well, maybe what if I don't? Listen to this. Jesus made the provision for your healing and miracle. God is not holding it back from you. Why would God hold back a provision that he already provided through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said, it's done, it's finished, and it's provided for. Amen? Now, what I find interesting is none of us here would say, eh, you know, none of us would think God would be willing for a person not to be born again, right? Would anybody in here say that? No, because we know it's God's will for someone to be born again, right? But did you know in the word salvation, it includes healing, deliverance, peace of mind, wholeness? Are you following me? But we take the whole, so, oh no, God would never turn someone down who wants to be born again. Then why do you do the same thing with healing and miracles for your life? Because it's all provided in salvation. So you are not, let me just tell you this, you're not waiting on God, but God is waiting on you to shift your thought life into faith mode and to believe him. Just believe him. Amen? God is not rejecting you. I promise you that he is not rejecting you. He is waiting on you to operate in your authority and to take what rightfully belongs, what legally, spiritually speaking, legally belongs to you in Christ. Come on, somebody. Don't roll over. Don't ever, as long as your heart is beating on this earth, don't ever roll over and play dead and let the enemy have his way. You fight him with everything you got. What would you do if someone broke into your home? You got your little kids in bed, your wife's in the bedroom, and you guys in the and someone broke in. You just gonna stand there and just let them plunder your house and harm your family? No way. Why do you let the devil do it to your body and soul? You better fight it with everything you got. Here's the problem. I said it before and I'll say it again. The biggest issue in the body of Christ is a lack of desire. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? I know someone's saying, well, of course they want to be healed. Of course. Do they, though? Because I found out it's real easy to get content and roll over and play dead than to put all the energy in to the good fight of faith. Someone needs to hear this today. Don't you dare roll over and play dead while your heart's beating on this earth. Now listen to this. The next point you must have to shift the atmosphere around you is, and I'm going right into it, desire. Say desire. Before you can shift an atmosphere around you, listen to me. Before you can shift an atmosphere around you on the outside of you, you must shift the atmosphere within you for a desire for change. Now, listen, this blew my mind when the Holy Spirit showed me this stuff. Are you ready for this? You must first experience the shift or the change that you want to create. That is why, and immediately the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance David encouraging himself in the Lord. That is why David encouraged himself in the Lord, because he knew nothing would shift around him until he shifts something on the inside of him. You can only, oh, come on, I'm dropping some nuggets here. I'm dropping some good Facebook bombs here for you. Listen to me. You can only give away or release spiritually what you have on the inside of you. Oh, get ready. The same principle is true in the natural realm. Some of you are not comprehending what I'm saying. Well, let me give you a natural realm example. You can only give away what you have in the natural realm. I could say right now, okay, the first person who runs to this altar, I'm going to give you $1 million. But that would be a false statement. Here's why. I don't have $1 million. I first need it to give it away. Are you getting it? So the same is true in the spirit realm. You can only give away that which you have taken hold of spiritually. That which you have had, here's what it is, here's what I'm talking about. That which you have had a revelation of. That which has become, this is what the Holy Ghost said, that which has become spiritual reality to you. Okay, the people who are ministering deliverance. Guess what? There's a lot of Christians who aren't ministering deliverance into the body of Christ. Why? Because they don't believe a Christian can have a demon. Hello? But some of us had the revelation, and we're doing it. I'm giving away the revelation I received. Are you getting it?
Yes.
But you can't force someone who didn't have the revelation to do it because there's no motivation in them. Listen to this. Messages and sermons are absolutely powerful when you get a revelation of that truth in your own heart. It's easy to, like today, this is the revelation in my heart. It's easy for me to have passion. It's fun preaching because it became alive in me. Are you getting it? They're absolutely powerful when you get a revelation of the truth in your own heart. But it's easy to pass that revelation on to others because it's a reality on the inside of you and it has life attached to it. But listen to this. But if I try to preach someone else's sermon or revelation without it being life-giving reality on the inside of me, guess what's going to happen? It's going to flop. That's why there's some denominations right now where pastors are preaching. It's all scripted out for them in the book, 365 days a year. And then people wonder why there's no life attached to it. I seek the Lord for a word every week. Lord, I want a fresh word that the people need to hear that will perfect the faith in the hearers where they're lacking in their faith. I want a living word to release. Would it be easy if I looked at a book every week it was scripted out? My goodness, that would be easy. Why? Because many Christians are lazy. Say lazy. So you can only give away what you have taken hold of spiritually on the inside of you personally. I'm talking about shifting the atmosphere today. Even right now, even in this message, you can feel the anointing coming from this message probably. Because it became a revelation in me this week. Jesus was able to say, peace be still to the storm and shut it down because he had peace on the inside of him. And he knew his authority. He was aware of it. He was conscious of it. And it made demons fearful of Jesus. Are you getting it? The disciples, listen to this. The disciples in the boat, they had fear on the inside of them. So they did not have what it takes to release peace in the storm. Are you getting it? There must be a desire to change circumstances in your life and when you minister to others. If the desire is lacking, nothing will change. Well, here you go. What you tolerate will remain the same or even get worse. What you tolerate will remain the same or it will get worse. You need to get fed up with the attacks of the enemy. Amen? You must have a holy dissatisfaction on the inside of you. There must be a desire for change. Now, listen to this. You can't stop there. Desire alone will not change anything. There must also be an expectation. Say expectation. Sure, you want things to change, but change to what? What's your expectation? You need to have an aim or a goal. You need to have a picture on the inside of you of what you are expecting to happen as you confront this atmosphere or whatever it is, situation, circumstance. The enemy, this is so good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Listen, the enemy is always trying to short circuit our expectations with negative thoughts and pictures. Now, listen to this. So the enemy throws something at you. He speaks to you. He throws in a picture. Your spirit man picks those things up in your imagination. Your imagination is a part of your spirit man. You following me? We are to counteract those negative thoughts and pictures, the word says, by casting them down. Now, I want you to notice that negative thoughts, you got to take hold of this now. I want you to notice that negative thoughts and pictures from the kingdom of darkness, they will always come into your life. It's impossible to stop them from coming at you. Are you getting it? No, that's not a lack of faith. This is just reality talk, people. What matters is this, what you do with those words and pictures in your imagination. They're always going to come, but what are you doing with it? Amen? Listen to this. Oh, my. Ephesians 6:16 talks about this, about us. Above all, taking the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. How many times have we heard that verse? I mean, in fact, probably when I read that, someone's eyes rolled back and said, oh, yeah, we heard that one. Listen to me. Are you ready for this? The fiery darts will always come, but our faith is a shield that blocks them and puts the fire out that's attached to those negative thoughts and pictures. I need you to follow me right now. Are you ready for this? Listen to this. It's interesting, the Word of God reveals that the darts have fire attached to them. Listen to this. The only purpose that someone would attach fire to a dart, ready, is to do more damage than the initial poke or strike. Here's what you got to get. It's called collateral damage. Damage beyond the initial strike of that dart. The Holy Spirit said that with this scripture that he was revealing to the body of Christ that if a thought, a suggestion, or a picture from the enemy is received in our thought life, it will have far-reaching damage in your life more than the initial strike. Some of y'all didn't get it. Listen to me. The dart or the initial strike is not the most dangerous part. It's that is only the transportation of the fire of the enemy into your life. Listen to this. Fire, when that dart goes and it hits you, it hits your thought life, right? There's that initial poke, but there's fire attached to it. The Word of God says that your shield of faith can quench that fire out by casting it down. Listen to this. Fire spreads and will do a lot of damage if it's not put out. Amen? What is inside of a person, remember I said this, what is inside of a person will come out spiritually. What you release is what's on the inside of you. I'm talking about atmosphere today. Listen to this. You will know when a Christian doesn't have the shield of faith up to quench or put out the fiery darts because here's why. Are you ready for this? Because they start releasing the fire that spread in them to others. Oh, you get this? You getting this right now? It's that dart, that initial thought, that's not the most dangerous thing. It's the fire that's attached to that dart. Now listen to this. So people who are not having that shield of faith up, they're not quenching the fire, that fire starts to rage and it starts to spread like wildfire. the fire of offense, the fire of bitterness, the fire of hate, the fire of gossip, the fire of unforgiveness, the fire of negative words, and so on. You are either releasing the atmosphere of heaven or hell on this earth. Do you get it? The Word of God says that our faith literally has the authority to put out that fire in our soul and mind. Here's why. Before that fire spreads to our heart. Did you get that? The thought comes in first into your mind, the battlefield of the mind. Okay? And what happens is if you give place to that thought, that fire starts to rage in your mind. And all of a sudden, you start to make that thought your thought by meditating on it, and it drops into your heart. Now it's bad. Now it's real bad. Because the Word of God says the issues of life flow out of your heart. That's why God says, I want your heart. You can do things. You can do things with religious tradition of man all day long. And you can do all those things without a heart toward God. Are you following me? Oh, we're going deep here. So you need to use your authority to put that fire out. To shift the atmosphere around you, your shield of faith must be up and active. For fire to go out, listen to this, for fire to go out, there must be a lack of oxygen or water upon that fire. Listen to me. The Word of God is saturated with the presence of living water of the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is truth, which takes away the oxygen from the deception of the enemy from that thought. It puts out that evil fire. Listen to this. Our shield of faith is faith in the Word of God. Let me say it again. Our shield of faith is faith in the Word of God, in the promises in the Word of God. Believing and doing the right thing, even when you don't feel like it, it overrides the flesh. Listen to me. You need the shield of faith up to shift an atmosphere. And the Holy Spirit said this. Listen to this. A shield does no good unless it's up. You can own a shield and it can stay right by your feet, right? A shield does you no good unless it's up. You can be holding on to a shield, but unless it's protecting, listen to this, your vital areas or organs, it will not benefit you at all. Usually when a shield is up in a battle, it's covering your head, your heart, and your torso area where the vital organs are located for survival. Are you getting it? The shield of faith covers your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. But if you allow the fiery darts to impact your soul, the danger is that it will drop down into your heart. Again, I'm going to take you back to the 17-second rule. If a thought comes in, if that dart comes in, that dart with fire attached to it comes into your thought life. Science says this. You have 17 seconds to quench that fire. Or else, now, if you think on that thing more than 17 seconds, you just made it your own. Now the fire's starting to burn, baby. Don't make that thought your own. Don't latch on to that thought. Cast it down. Amen? The Word says, as a man or as a person thinks, so is he or she. I want you to notice it says, as a person thinks or as a man, he, she thinks. In the King James says, thinketh. You know what that's inferring? A continually thinking on something. Not just a one-time passing thought. It's a continual thinking. That's what you will become. What you think on a normal, regular basis, continually. So it's talking about that person or thought. You're meditating on that thought. The person's giving that thought a lot of time and a lot of real estate in their soul. It's a continually thinking on it. You got to know that. It's not just a passing thought. You just can't read one scripture and walk away and expect it's going to change you. It's not going to happen. It's got to be meditated on. It's got to be chewed on in your spirit, man. Are you following me? So in other words, the thoughts that you meditate on in connection to your identity, that is exactly what you will become. It's a reprogramming of your mind, all right? All right. So that's why lives are in such a mess, because they believed, listen, they believed the lie of what other people have said about them. Parents, I'm telling you right now, the words that you speak to your children, it sets them up for failure. It sets them up for either failure or success in life. You need to put the time and effort, listen, into thinking about your identity from God's perspective in your life. Amen? If you meditate on the Word of God, it will release revelation on the inside of you. And that is what you will release everywhere you go. You will shift an atmosphere in the direction of what you have been meditating on in your thought life. All right? So, remember, whatever is on the inside of you spiritually and emotionally, that is what will be released in your presence. That's what other people are going to feel in your presence around you. All right? That is what you will project to others. Say project. Now, listen to this. I got another doozy for you here. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light. Does he not? Is that in the Word? He masquerades as an angel of light. He uses deception to do it. Say deception. But if your discernment is turned up and sharp, listen to me, you will sense an evil presence when the devil or demons are around you. Because here's why. Because evil is on the inside of them, and that's all they can release. They have evil intent and motives for your life. That's why all they can release in the kingdom of darkness is evil, an evil presence, heaviness. Come on, somebody. Amen. Bondage. All right. Listen to this. Just like a wolf in sheep's clothing, they can masquerade like a sheep, but they still have the presence and characteristics of a wolf on the inside. Are you getting it? That's why Jesus said that we would know people by their fruit, not by the way they look. Looks or appearance can be changed to fool people, but fruit comes from the heart, from the true motivations of who that person truly is. Amen? So you are releasing and shifting the atmosphere based on what's in your heart, not on what you're pretending to be in the natural, on the outward appearance. So listen, the Word of God says that God looks at the heart, not at the outward appearance. Amen? Again, the outward appearance, let me just say it, the outward appearance can be faked. It can be transformed. But the heart is what it is, and that's what will be released to other people. Man, I feel there's revelation knowledge being just released right now. So go into that place, go into that situation, knowing who you are in Christ, having a desire for change, having an expectation and faith for that change, right? I'm getting close to being done. Listen to this. Next, you must position yourself to be able to shift the atmosphere in a specific location. Go to Joshua 1 real quick here. Joshua 1. I'm talking about shifting the atmosphere. What is in your heart, that's what you're going to project to people. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I have said to Moses from the wilderness. And this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. I'm talking about shifting the atmosphere and taking territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. Why? If it was just automatic, why does he got to do that? Hello, somebody. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. only be strong and very courageous. There it is again. That you may observe to do according to all the law of which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Here's a popular passage right here, a verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, underline it, meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then will you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. When you meditate on the word and obey the word. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God told Joshua he would not leave him nor forsake him. We need to meditate on that promise. Amen? Only be strong and of good courage. Now, that word dismayed there means don't get discouraged. You know what God is saying? He's saying just because there might be a bump in the road doesn't mean I'm not with you, and it doesn't mean you're not going to be victorious in this thing. What happens to Christians when they hit that bump in the road? They're ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. No, God said, don't be dismayed. When the bump comes, keep going. Amen. Keep going. Amen. Keep fighting. Amen. You got my promises. Now go take the land. Amen? Amen? So if you're going to shift atmospheres and take hold of the promises of God in your life, you are going to have to fight through the fear that would try to silence you and hold back. Do not be afraid. If you feel like you're going through hell right now in your life, don't stop there. If you feel like you're going through hell right now in your life, don't stop. Keep moving in Jesus' name. Because eventually you're going to come out of this thing. Amen? Amen. Fight the discouragement with everything you have. And that's what the body of Christ is for. We're a family. We should be able to pick up the phone. I should be able to pick up the phone and talk to any one of you. You should be able to pick up the phone or call someone in this congregation, and you should say, hey, I need prayer. I need some encouragement. Every person should be able to do that in here. So keep your eyes on God and His Word. There is a reason. Listen to this. There is a reason He tells us to look up. Look up from where your help comes from. Did you notice that? Look up. In other words, don't look straight ahead. Because if you look straight ahead at the circumstances in the natural, you are going to get discouraged and throw the whole thing away. But He says, look up. Keep looking up. That's where your help comes from. And the last step, you need to shift the atmosphere. You need to be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Release spoken words. Prayer, pray in tongues, whatever you need to do, obey the Holy Ghost. The walls of Jericho came down for one reason and one reason only, because they were absolutely 100% obedient to the instructions that God gave them. Not what they wanted to do themselves, they were obedient to the very instructions that God told them to do, and the walls came tumbling down. So go in with the spiritual mindset. A fleshly mindset will not shift an anthill in your life. Go in with confidence in God and His Word, and know that wherever you go, you're taking the Holy Ghost with you. You are a carrier of the light of God. You are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You are a fellow worker. You are a co-laborer together with God. You are working with the Creator of heaven and earth. You are a citizen of heaven that resides on earth. You are an on earth as it is in heaven Christian. Your mission, my mission, is to release the glory, as Marianne talked about, to release the glory, presence, and power of heaven on earth. Have and maintain a mindset that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Church, we need to rise up and operate and be atmosphere shifters that God has created us to be. Amen? Let the atmospheres begin to shift now in the name of Jesus. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Let it shift in the name of Jesus. Come on, get out of that rut. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. You better fight it with everything you have. If you're going to stay in that rut of feeling sorry for yourself, there's nothing, nobody can do anything for you, not even God. He needs your cooperation. Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. You need to do that today. You never know, I'm telling you right now, you never know when you're going to take your last breath on this earth. You're feeling the tug, you're feeling the unction of the Holy Spirit trying to woo you and lead you to do this. If you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, come forward and pray with one of the prayer team members. I beg you, do not leave this building without making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you feel totally backslidden. Maybe not just that. Maybe it's not, you're not in deep sin, but you've fallen into that feeling of hopelessness. You've given up. You've rolled over. You feel dead, but your heart's still beating right now. If that's you and you need prayer, you need a little recharge today, I want you to come down right now and pray with one of our prayer team members. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you want to be able to pray in tongues, you want to learn about that, come on down. We want to minister to you. You need prayer for anything, come on down. We want to minister to you today. Visitors, thank you so much for coming. Church, we need to shift the atmosphere. Amen? Start shifting it. Do it boldly. Be courageous. Amen? God bless you all. Have a great week.